The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Champions, Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
Rube, it finally happened, the Carson Wentz trade that we've all been waiting for. Let's just hop right into it. This is an emergency edition of the Eagle Eye podcast with Rube and Frank. I'm Dave Zangaro. Rube, let's just break down the initial trade. The Eagles send Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts for a 2021 third round pick, a 2022 conditional second round pick. Your initial reaction to the trade?
Well, my initial reaction is thank God it's over for everybody's sake. And really seriously, for the Eagles' sake, they can kind of move on and figure out their roster and their quarterback and their cap situation, their draft, and just kind of start moving on. And crazy situation that it came to this. It still kind of seems unreal when you think about it, that this guy that they made two incredible trades for in to get up to number two just, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years and 10 months ago. It's not that long. And you know, was the face of the franchise, the franchise quarterback, got off to such a great start. His first four games, he had like 9 touchdowns and 1 interception. And, you know, 11-2 a second year, not bad his next 2 years, and it just went bad. And you don't see that. You don't see guys that caliber, that level, it just disappears like that. So there's a lot to unpack there. I think we're going to be looking at this for years as we see what happens with the Eagles and their quarterback job, and we see what happens with Carson in Indy or wherever he ends up going. And it's going to be fascinating to kind of follow along, but at least everybody can kind of move on now and start preparing for 2021.
Yeah, it's funny because I think there's two ways to look at this trade. And the one way you look at it is like in the world that we live in right now, knowing what we've known for the past 2 weeks, this was kind of an assumed outcome that he would get traded. But then you take a step back and you're like, this was their guy. I mean, this was, really the first time since Donovan that they identified the guy, like the guy, not the Kevin Cobb, maybe he could be the guy, but the guy who they said, we're going to build around him. And they were so sure. And the crazy thing is they were right. I mean, it's funny because it ends in this ultimate failure, and there's no other way to look at it right now. I mean, it ended in failure because he's not here. They had the dead cap and all that. But you can also make an argument that it worked because they got this guy who was on his way to an MVP trophy. I mean, I still don't think they win the Super Bowl without him. I mean, the start that you can argue that they wouldn't have won it if Nick didn't end up being the quarterback, but they don't get to that point without Carson Wentz. I mean,
perfect scenario was Carson starting 13 games and then Nick coming in. Cause if Carson got hurt earlier, Nick's not good enough to get you through like 8 or 10 games, but Carson might not have been good enough to get you all the way to the Super Bowl. So,
and we'll never know, but I mean, they don't win the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz. They're not that team without Carson Wentz. So, it worked until it didn't. So it's a success and a failure. It's something like we'll never see this again. I've never seen anything like it before. There's never been anything like it before. There's so many layers to it. And it's in the grand scheme of things, it's shocking that it got to this point. But for the last 3 weeks, we've known this was going to happen at some point.
Right. And I think when we look back – in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, we're going to be like, holy crap, what happened? They had their guy. And like you said, they were right. I mean, he was the right guy. You know, I think, and we've talked about this. I mean, it went wrong in so many different ways. And I don't think the Eagles or Carson is completely to blame. I think it's just kind of a, it just went bad. And sometimes things go bad. I still think that the Jalen Hurts draft pick is what really, I don't know if it was the last straw or the first straw or the biggest straw, but I still believe that if they hadn't taken Jalen Hurts at 53 last year, Carson might still be here. He might still be happy. He might have played better. But I could be wrong because there's so much we just don't know and we'll probably never know. There's probably a lot Carson doesn't know exactly how this all happened. But at what point, you know, did that relationship start to go sour? To me, it was drafting Jalen Hurts. And I think the Eagles should have known how – I don't know if fragile is the wrong word, but they should have known he wasn't going to react real well. And, you know, that maybe he didn't have – after being through everything he had been through with Nick in 17 and the injuries in all 3 years, that maybe he wasn't equipped to deal with drafting a quarterback in the second round.
Yeah, and we always hear about, well, the Packers drafted a quarterback. Different situation, different guy. And it was up to the Eagles – to recognize their situation and what their quarterback had been through and his personality and how he would deal with it. And I don't think they looked at it like that. And they're left now looking back like, man, I wish he would have reacted differently. But that's on them for not realizing what they were getting themselves into. And I agree with you. I don't think we're in this situation. Ultimately, maybe it doesn't still end well between Wentz and the Eagles. But I don't know if it goes this quickly. If they don't draft Jalen Hurts. Because if Jalen Hurts isn't there, then your backup's Nate Sudfeld. And in week 12, are they putting in Nate Sudfeld? Maybe, but you're probably going back to Wentz. And, right. And Wentz doesn't feel threatened by his buddy who's not very good. You know, I think that it's absolutely fair to look at the Hurts pick as really maybe not where it all started, because I think where it all started was December in L.A., I think that's really where this all started. But I agree with you. Maybe the biggest straw was the Hurts pick, and it's really seemed to unravel after that. I want to get into the compensation and
– let me just say one more thing on that. Yeah. I do blame Carson for reacting the way he did as well. So it's not just sure. The Hurts pick. You'd like the guy to be a little mentally tougher. In that situation, like Aaron Rodgers, like you said, they're different guys. I think the Eagles should have understood after 4 years with the guy, you know, at that point, you're talking about 4 years after they drafted him. So they've been around him enough that they should have anticipated how he was going to react. But I also wish he reacted differently. So that's what I mean when I say both sides, I think, share equally in the blame, because ideally, like you like to think that your quarterback's the kind of competitor who's going to be, all right, you want to bring in another quarterback. I'm going to go out and have the best year of my career. I'm going to get motivated by this. I'm going to be driven by this, and I'm going to prove who's the best. But that's not Carson, and that's not how he responded. And they should have known that it wasn't, you know, they should have known he's not Aaron Rodgers, and this is not the way to proceed here.
Yeah, and further on that, I mean, there was failure on both sides, not just at that level, but you can take it further. Like, they were so clear about Carson being the guy that maybe they swung the power to him a little too much early in his career. And I've told this a million times, but I still think back to the Super Bowl when they plopped him in the middle of the team photo, and it was to show that he's still our guy, but it also showed he's kind of above everything else. And you look back at the symbolism of that, and you start to go, oh, maybe that wasn't the best idea. And look, franchise quarterbacks have a certain level of power in an organization, and that's kind of understood. But for him to have it that early in his career, I think it kind of it bred this culture dynamic in the building that might not have been healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, it enabled him, maybe in ways it shouldn't have, that he shouldn't have been enabled. I'm just going to interject here and say I have the most beautifully half-shoveled driveway out there right now.
Yeah, I have to thank you, Rube. It was funny, and we've made this joke before. I'm surprised we didn't get a podcast and then the deal happened. That's one bright spot here. But Rube this morning said, I'm going out at 11 to shovel, and I said, thanks, I'll let Howie know. Sure enough, what, like 20 minutes later, he gets dealt. So, yeah, thanks for that.
I made four passes down, two on the right side and two on the left side. I shovel my driveway vertically, not horizontally. So I go long vertical, you know, and you spend less time changing directions that way. It's, you know, so mathematically it goes faster. So I'm sitting there looking out the window at this. It's about 30% done. So thank you.
You'll get to that tomorrow. We had a lot to get to today.
Anyway, let's talk compensation here.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Sure. So the compensation, they don't get a first-round pick yet. There's a chance they could get one. And we mentioned at the top of the pod, but the compensation here is a 2021 third-round pick. So coming up in a few months here, the number 85 overall pick, and then a second round pick in 2022 next year that can turn into a first round pick if some conditions are met. And I'll just break it down while we're doing it. The first condition is Wentz plays at least 75% of the Colts offensive snaps. So if he hits one of these two, it becomes a first round pick. The second is he plays 70% of their snaps. So the percentage is down, but the Colts also make the playoffs. The conditional pick makes sense here based on Wentz's play and his injury history. You know, if Wentz is what the Colts think he is, they'll be fine giving up this first round pick next year. But it also makes sense for them to protect themselves a little bit too.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because he usually gets hurt late in the year or benched late in the year. So I think other than 2017, he would have been over the 75% threshold, I think, each other year. I think he was at 81% this year, right?
Something like that. It was 72 this year.
Oh, was it 72? My bad. Okay.
Yeah. So I have the breakdown here. In 2016, it was all of it. Yeah. 2017, 78%. 2018, 66%. 6%, 2019, 99%, and 2020, 72%.
Yeah, that's fair. I tell you what, if the Eagles can get out of this with a 1-3, you can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, and I understand that there's, like everything in this situation, there's different ways to look at it. Ultimately, it's somewhat underwhelming based on, you know, if you just traded a franchise quarterback, but, and what they gave up to get him many years ago. But on the flip side, they just traded a guy that everyone kind of knew they had the trade, and they still might get a first round pick out of it. They get at least two relatively high picks out of it. I think the compensation's fair. I think that the market trying to figure, and they had the same trouble trying to figure out this market for Wentz. How do you do it? Opinions are so split on him. And really all that mattered was that the Colts liked him enough to trade. And I think the opinions being split on him around the league affected the compensation too, because if they had, we heard, you know, just today that, the Broncos were never interested. I mean, if you had more teams interested, if there was a better consensus of the player he was, the compensation would have been higher. But all things considered, it's not bad. You would, and ideally, you would like to have that second rounder this year, you know, and then a conditional second next year. Two twos with the possibility of a one would be stronger, but I don't know if they're ever going to get that.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to get. I was a little surprised it was a three, not a two, but, you know, it's better than a four. So you take what you can get. And I think, you know, if – obviously, Frank Reich feels like he knows Carson better than the Broncos better than other teams that don't have his former offensive coordinator. The whole Colts-Eagles offseason has been really like
they're just trading everything. Everyone.
It's like they traded franchises for each other. It's funny. I was telling you how somebody – I was doing a radio show and somebody was saying how – and I didn't correct him. It wasn't a local show. It was a national thing. And the guy was like, well, it's good for Carson that he's back with Nick Sirianni, who's coached it before. Well, he just missed him with two different teams, which is kind of interesting. Kind of like ships in the night. Is that a saying?
Yeah, it is.
Ships in the night. That's actually a Bebop Deluxe song. Bill Nelson, Bebop Deluxe, Ships in the Night from Life in the Air Age album.
Bring it back in here.
But anyway, I think considering everything, they're lucky they got what they got. And now they got to pick good players with those picks. Second round picks are almost as good as first round picks. The Eagles, you know, and I've said this forever, the Eagles have gotten as many good players in the second round as the first round. Great players.
That doesn't mean it's as good. It just means the Eagles are missing.
No, I mean, historically, even going back to the 80s, you know, when you look at Eric Allen and Brian Dawkins and Deshaun and Shady, I mean, it's incredible that what they've done in the second round. They've done better. Even before Howie. But even Howie, you know, I mean, Ertz was a two, Miles was a two, Goddard was a two. So they've done well in the second round. So I thought a two would be good for them, but it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Ultimately, I do think it's fair though. You know, you heard about the Bears. It pretty clearly seemed like the Bears and Colts were the two teams, but we talked about Carson's leverage and that mattered. I don't think the Bears were going to trade for Carson Wentz if they didn't feel like he was committed. You wouldn't want a quarterback who didn't want to be there. And that's part of the reason the Eagles were trading.
Yeah. You know?
So why would the Bears want a malcontent? And look, and I say malcontent, but I don't think Carson went in there pounding his fist to get traded. But the moment he says, yeah, I think it might be better to move on, it was written in stone. The Eagles had to move him. And all this about them possibly bringing him back, they couldn't have.
Yeah, no, it was for 100 reasons. They couldn't, and they weren't going to. I think it's a good place for him. How do you think he'll play?
I think he's set up to have a really good season. I mean, all the problems and in Philly, he won't really have in Indy. I mean, he's going to have a line. Look, barring injury, I can't predict that, but it's a good line. He's going to be protected. That was his biggest issue, I think, in 2020, and it led to a lot of other issues. He has some good skill players. I mean, they need to replenish in Indy too. I mean, they're gonna miss a few guys, but he has skill players. He has a coach he feels comfortable with, that he has a good relationship with, that got the best out of him. I mean, he's gonna get to play indoors. He's gonna get to play in a division that has the Jaguars and the Texans. This is an 11-1. This is clearly the better situation for
him. Dave, he was in the division this year. He was in a division this year that didn't have a team that won more than five games, or six games. But yeah,
I'm just looking at it compared to the Chicago.
I think playing in the dome is really going to help him.
Yeah,
it's interesting. You know, he'll be their fourth quarterback in 4 years. Right, because Luck and Brissett and Rivers and Carson.
And it's funny because Indy kind of has a special place, the city, in the Carson Wentz Eagles story, because obviously the combine's held there, and that's where they did a good bit of their homework on him to make sure, like, yeah, he's the guy. And that's also where Howie laid the framework for the initial trade from 13 to 8, because it was like there that they realized. And then that was also, you remember, he got hurt in his first preseason, and it was that workout with Frank Reich, funny enough,
right
at Lucas Oil Stadium, when they, like, and I remember we both watched that workout. It was like a half hour, 40 minute intense workout. And when it was done, I remember Frank walking off the field and went, oof. Like, that's when they knew they can trade Sam Bradford. Carson's ready to be the guy. And it's kind of crazy that that's where he'll be playing at his home games now.
I wonder how much it'll help him to be in a small market. We've both spent a lot of time in Indianapolis. I know you like it as much as I do. You know,
the town that is a convention center.
The whole town is a convention center. It's crazy because you can stay at a hotel 2 miles from the stadium and walk through the convention center all the way to the stadium, like 80% of the way. Mm-hmm. And because we've been there in a pouring rain where you just kind of go through all these walkways and tunnels and you basically walk 2 miles indoors to get to the stadium. It's all connected. I do think that being in that market, it's not a, you know, I mean, there's something about Philly and Washington and New York and Chicago. LA, not so much, even though it's a big city, it's a big market, but it doesn't have, you know, you don't have generations of Rams lifers. I mean, you don't have that, but I think there'll be a lot less pressure on them there from the fans, from the media. I think that might be, you know, beneficial to them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you can kind of say, like, I think people kind of denigrate people when they can't deal with that pressure, but it's a real thing. And there was a lot, it's like scar tissue here in Philly with him. I mean, all the things that built up with him having the pressure of being the guy, the top pick, then watching Nick Foles, then getting hurt the next year and watching Foles again, then getting to the playoffs and getting that. There was just so much, and it built up over so long. I'm sure he has it's tough to get over that. And the whole time the pressure's building. And he knows it. He feels it. I mean, he tries to avoid it, but you hear it. You can't avoid it all the way. I think you're right. I think going to a small market is probably beneficial for him.
And he'll have the Idle George Museum right there in his backyard.
I'll tell him about it.
Yeah, I think he'll play well. I don't think he'll ever play as well as he did in 17. I don't know physically if he'll ever be that spry and just that healthy. I mean, not that he's hurt, but just he just hasn't looked the same in quite a while. We'll see. Having a good offensive line can make any quarterback look healthier and, you know, more prepared and fitter and all that. It's going to be fascinating. Opening day, there's going to be as many Eagles fans watching the Colts. They don't play next year, do they?
No, they play in 22.
Yeah. Now, who knows? Their quarterback might be Jalen Hurts by then. But, but that would be fun if they played this year. Well, maybe in the Super Bowl. We'll see. Hey, Eagles fans, it's time to look forward to your dream vacation, Philadelphia Eagles Fan Cruise. Now, listen, tickets are selling out fast, and the ship sails in just about a year, March of 2022. 7 days and seven nights with Eagles fans and only Eagles fans. Book your tickets today at PhiladelphiaEaglesCruise.com.
How many Wentz jerseys do you think over under will be on that cruise ship?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot.
It's a tough – I mean, I'm just thinking, like, I had a buddy already text me going, well, I'm glad I bought that jersey. That's going to be an all-timer of, like, sunken jersey costs.
But you know what? A lot of people get off on wearing being contrarian jerseyists. You know, you always see somebody with, like, the most obscure – like, remember, we were at a game last year, and we saw a guy in a Namdi jersey sitting in front of us?
Yeah.
I think it might have been Namdi, actually, but – you still see, like – you see a lot of Mamulas, and you see a lot of, people just trading a lot of Pinkstons, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to be ironic here, ironic jersey wearing.
Yeah, I think you got to put it in your closet for the next, like, 10 years, though, before you can be ironic with it.
Couple years. You know, if he plays really bad, then you can bring it out. If he plays well, you probably don't want to wear it.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, I mean, with the conditional pick, I mean, we were all going to watch how he performed out there anyway. But with that conditional pick, it matters how he plays. And it's like almost like – as Carson would say, there's a fine line. Yeah. Because if you're an Eagles fan, you got to root for him to stay healthy and also be good enough to not get benched. But
not play well enough.
Not play well enough for the Colts to be good. Because like if you get that first round pick, or even if it's a second round pick, you want the Colts to be bad, so it's a higher pick. It's kind of like you have to root against him, but root for him at the same time if you're an Eagles fan. It's a weird dynamic.
You want to root for him to be durable and healthy and okay, but not great.
Yeah, and I mean, for reference here, the Colts have the 21st threshold pick.
You want him to suck. Once he hits 75%.
Yeah, well, but you won't know because the Colts will have to play.
Yeah, but if he basically
you'll have an idea. Yeah.
Like 13 games, you know.
Yeah.
Then you want him to lose their last three.
Well, what if it comes down to a situation where he's played X amount of snaps and he's hurt or benched in week 14? Now you just have to hope the Colts punt a lot because they don't want them to get offensive snaps.
Yeah, I think they're going to be doing all the punting when he's playing. No, I'm just kidding. No, I actually think he's going to play well. I think he's going to play significantly better than this year and significantly worse than 17. So somewhere in between, which is a lot. That's a lot of room.
It's pretty much every quarterback in history.
if you're an Eagles fan, you want him to. You basically want him to play well and the Colts to lose.
Yeah,
that's what you
want. We have to get into where the Eagles go now because. They're left with one quarterback on their roster, and that's Jalen Hurts, because Carson's gone. Nate Sudfeld's a free agent. What do you think happens here? I mean, is Jalen Hurts the starter, or do you think something else happens here?
I think the job is Sudfeld's to lose. I think
we know Jeff Lurie loves him.
Yeah, did some amazing things back in 2011 in high school. I still think Jalen's more likely to be the opening day starter than anybody, but I think they're going to keep looking for a quarterback. And, you know, it's weird. Like, he did enough to make you think that maybe there's something there, but he didn't do enough to make you say, oh, he's our guy. So I don't think anybody would be shocked if the quarterback factory drafts another quarterback at six.
Or moves up.
Because
if you're willing to draft a quarterback at six – then you have to be willing to move up to get them because that's the way I look at it. And we know how much importance they put on that position. But if you like a guy, like if Fields is your guy, just example, if you're willing to take him at six, you better be willing to move up to three to get him. Right. I mean, if he's the guy, he's the guy.
Right. And we know how he will be. I mean, that's what he's good at. He's good at moving up and down. Once he gets there, it's not quite as good. But the moving part, he's good at. No, I totally agree. I still harboring those thoughts of Trey Lance as well.
He's a good quarterback, and
he might be a great quarterback.
Who knows? He has all the tools.
He does,
and they can't not draft him because he's from the same school.
Only if Carson is still here.
Yeah.
That would send Carson off the deep end.
I also think there's a real chance they sign a veteran. I think they're going to have to sign somebody. I don't know at what level because they only have one quarterback on the roster. Even if you draft one, you have two. You need three quarterbacks. So
yeah, but your three can be anybody. I mean, that could be, you know.
Sure, but I mean, if you don't draft a quarterback high, then you need a viable backup.
Right.
You need a decent – like, you need someone who can step in and play. I know that they're kind of resigned to not being a great team this year, but you still need to field a competitive team. Right. And if Hurts is your start – say they – I think they'll probably draft a quarterback, right, even if it's a late rounder. But say your starter's Jalen Hurts, you draft a guy in the sixth round with the comp pick, you still need a backup. Or you want to bring in somebody who can compete with Jalen Hurts, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility either. The problem is you don't have any money.
Right. I think there's going to be – I think that veteran's going to be a cheap kind of journeyman type, you know, guy who's, you know, the Josh McCown type of guy, you know, who – I mean, there's guys like that and – there's going to be a lot of movement. There's going to be guys that don't have jobs. And I think that's the kind of guy that they're going to, you know, I don't see them signing like a big name veteran. I think they'll either draft a guy or sign like a, middle of the road veteran. Like, I don't think they're going to go out and sign Marcus Mariota, for example.
Yeah, he's going to, and he'd probably, well, you have to trade for him.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean, but there's
that level of guy. I mean,
sure. What do you think about, like, and I'm going with two guys who have connections to the coaching staff. How about, like, Tyrod Taylor, who, you know, has been with Steichen? Or how about Brian Hoyer? Is that kind of the level you're thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Hoyer was an Indy. He knows Sirianni. That would make some sense.
The thing that scares me about him is he's – if you list every player in NFL history alphabetically, he's right next to Bobby Hoying. So whenever I try to look up a Bobby Hoying stat on Pro Football Reference, and, you know, you type the name in the box and all the options come up, I get Hoying and Hoyer. And it really – I don't know. That's a red flag for me. But, yeah, that
you
level –
know what the red flag for me is? That you're looking up Bobby Hoying stats in your free time.
What else is there to do? We're in a pandemic here. A lot of Bobby Hoying stats. I might do 10 Bobby Hoying stats this week. But Tyrod Taylor is an interesting name. I would certainly be interested in that level of guy. I always liked Tyrod Taylor.
And that's a higher level than Hoyer. That's a guy who could start.
Yeah, but probably won't. But could, and has, and, you know, he's done well when he's played. Mm-hmm. But I think that's likely. I just think they're going to draft a quarterback, Dave. I'm just. You know that, I mean, they think – I know how Howie thinks, and he thinks about, you know, generational talents, and they've never been a team that's had success mixing and matching quarterbacks and trying to – let's maybe this guy, maybe that guy, maybe this will work. And nothing is Jalen Hurts, but he's – you know, he's a second-round pick for a reason, and maybe he'll be great. But I think historically, you know – the great quarterbacks are coming in the first 10 picks, first 12 picks of the first round.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If they draft a quarterback in the first round, how much worse does it make that Hurts pick look? Because they're willing to torpedo the organization and then not willing to stick with that guy. But I think it's a real possibility. And I'll go as far as to say they owe it to themselves to really do their homework on this draft class of quarterbacks. They do, because you don't get up here very often, and you saw how much they had to give up when they identified the last guy. To get from 13 to 2, they had to give up a ton. And really, it was to get from 8 to get to 8. It wasn't that big a deal. But to get to make that jump, it was significant. So when you're this high and one's off the board, I mean, we know where one is going, and that wasn't the case in 16. But we know where one is going this year. So it really starts at two. And that's where Howie and the pro personnel staff have to not get a sense of not just what quarterback they might like, but also what the league's thinking. And it might help that he has a relationship with Joe Douglas, because they have to know that the Jets have to figure out what they're doing. Are they keeping Sam Darnold? Are they trading him? Are they drafting a quarterback? Are they willing to trade that pick? What about three, the Dolphins? If there's a lot to this, because if the Dolphins are sold and they're Tua's our guy, then that pick should be for sale. And that could be a prime spot to jump up in there ahead of another team that wants a quarterback. So there's the Eagles, and I'm sure they've already started, but there has to be work done here to figure out if A, they want to get a quarterback, and B, what they might have to do to land that guy.
Yeah, I would say if they're going to draft a quarterback, it's not going to be at 6. I think
– unless they're convinced that that player would be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you want to – yeah, I mean, there's less moving parts when you're at 6. You can, if you have a sense what everyone else is doing, but knowing Howie, he'll go up and get what he wants.
And someone could jump you too. You run that risk.
Right. I think that's a good chance. It's funny how Tua keeps coming up in all these conversations, whether you're talking about Hurts or the draft. Mm-hmm. Maybe Hurts could make it trade Hurts and a pick to Miami, and Hurts can back up Tua again. I'm getting dizzy here. But yeah, I also think there's a chance you say, you know what, if we don't like any of these quarterbacks enough to go up and get them, let's give Jalen a year. You know, he showed us enough to, you know, that we're intrigued, and with a full off season and, you know, better coaching and better weapons, you know, let's see what he can do for a full year. And if it doesn't work, you're probably back up in the top 10 anyway. Next year, you know, in April of 2022, and, you know, you start thinking about a long-term quarterback there. So there's that. Really, it all comes back to, why did they take Jalen Hurts at 53? I mean, everything comes back there, unless you say, well, he's our quarterback, because, you know, you traded the guy that was ahead of him. So generally, if that happens, that guy becomes your guy. That's how this usually works. But I don't think that's the case here, which is more because he didn't play enough to make you think he's definitely not our guy, mm-hmm. you know? So it just makes you wonder why they picked him. I keep coming back to that. It just didn't make sense. And I like the player.
Yeah. And look, if I'm them right now and I'm not sold on any of the quarterbacks here, then I think the wisest option is to draft a non-quarterback at 6, get a good player, use your other picks, and try to surround Hurts with a young nucleus and see if he can't be the guy. I don't know. I don't know what he is. I mean, and it's funny because their opinions were really split on Hurts. Talk about quarterback, like we talked about opinions being split on Wentz now. I mean, opinions were split on Hurts coming out of college. There were some teams that thought he was a second-round pick, like the Eagles obviously did, and there were other teams who thought, no, he's a day three pick, and maybe not early in day three. So the Eagles clearly thought a lot more of him than some other teams. So if that's the case, then I think it's wise to stick with him unless they're just blown away by one of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of months. What a crazy offseason.
And honestly, I think we all kind of feel a sense of relief that we can move on now. You know, this Wentz thing was hanging over our heads. It was hanging over the heads of the people in that building. And it's good news. I think we all kind of understood that this was where we were headed. It was the trade was going to happen at some point. And I don't think they're running around with party hats on at the NovaCare Complex, because it does illustrate a failure on the part of the organization. But it also lets them move forward. It lets Nick Sirianni know that, all right, that's out of here. At least start preparing like Hurts is your quarterback. We'll see what happens, but you can get a jump start. It lets Hurts know, okay, I can go forward at least acting like the starter. I don't have Carson looking over my shoulder or looking back at me over his shoulder. And it gives Howie Roseman a chance to plan the offseason and try to figure out where they go from here. And the Colts obviously wanted their planning to continue too. So, It's good news on Thursday for right now. Overall, it's a failure, but for right now, it's good news that it finally happened.
I wonder what Nick Sirianni thinks of all this. I mean, he's been here, you know, a month now. I mean, at one point, he probably thinks he's going to be coaching Carson Wentz, which, as an offensive coach and, you know, play caller, I'd be intrigued by that. I'd want to coach him and see if I can get him turned around. And next thing you know, he gets traded to your former team, and you don't know who your quarterback's going to be. It's a weird situation, man. The you know, I mean, Carson's going to be there with Press Taylor, and I mean, it's just, you know,
Mike Groh,
all his, he's got like three of his offensive coordinators are going to be there with him.
Yeah,
and which is nuts. The last Eagles offensive coordinator who's not currently with the Colts would be Pat Shurmur.
What's Pat up to these days?
Pat's offensive coordinator in Denver, who had no interest in Carson, right?
Yeah. So, all right. You got anything else on this one, Steele?
No. But I don't think technically this is an emergency pod, because we were going to do a pod anyway today.
We moved it up an hour.
I don't think that's enough to classify it as an emergency.
Okay. A middle ground emergency podcast. If you enjoy Eagle Eye, and we know you do, go ahead and rate, subscribe, wherever you get your pods. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate you as well. Please click like and subscribe there. This has been Eagle Eye for Rube. I'm Dave. We will talk to you guys next week.